This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they might live on the earth, and certainly it's important to all people. Right now, it seems to be most important to the hapless Lebanese people, who are suffering mightily under the power and cruelty and extremism of Jewish supremacy. Ladies and gentlemen, you might have seen the recent pictures of the ambulances which were met and which were in fact at the time carrying injured civilians that were targeted, obviously purposefully, by the Israeli military. In fact, one of the ambulances has a huge red cross, by the way, which is a Christian symbol, which again, as I said earlier in this book, how Israel hates the symbol of the cross, and even for many lower school children, like lower grade school children, they will not use the plus sign in arithmetic. They will use a T because they hate the cross so much and they don't want to look at crosses. Many radical Jews are taught literally in seminary to spit three times every time they see a cross or crucifix. And we have a big problem right now with yeshiva students spitting on clergy, on Christian clergy, who live and work in Jerusalem and other parts of the Mideast. So it's not surprising to me to see a big bombshell right in the middle of the cross on the roof of the Red Cross ambulance, which was helping civilians. This is the nature of this war. And of course, they also bombed and killed UN observers, a clear United Nations observation point. And even the head of the United Nations said he believed this was a deliberate act. I believe that was deliberate. I believe the USS Liberty was deliberate. I know for a fact the Levant affair was deliberate, where Israel targeted and terrorized and attacked American installations in Egypt. And in the unscrupulous act of not only committing terrorism against Americans, but literally trying to get us into an unjust war against Egypt, trying to blame Egypt for it. Only the capture of the Israeli agent prevented that further atrocity. So, ladies and gentlemen, we can learn a lot of what's going on in the Middle East right now by my book, Jewish Supremacism. And I'm continuing on in my reading of Jewish Supremacism. Today I begin Chapter 5 of the audio book, Jewish Supremacism. It's a pivotal chapter. It's the chapter on Jewish media supremacy, how they control the media, and how this affects our view of the world. And we see this control being exercised almost every day. Even who they decide to interview and who they don't decide to interview. They interview Ms. Goldberg at the State Department to get the American position on what's going on here in terms of the attacks against Lebanon. Next thing, we slide over to Mr. Goldwasser, and then we slide over to, who is it, Mr. Blitzer? Wolf Blitzer, that's it, Wolf Blitzer, a guy who was actually employed and worked for AIPAC, which is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, an organization which right now has individuals on trial for espionage against the United States. Well, he's the one that's going to interview all the people in the Mideast, this unbiased source, right, for news and information on CNN. Is that the way it's going to work, ladies and gentlemen? It's just insane. And why don't they let David Duke have his own show on CNN to interview the pro-immigration people? You see, it's such a bias. And they let them get by with insanity, without challenging them at all. I remember watching CNN the other day, and they interviewed, can't remember his name, but they interviewed the health minister for Israel. And he said, with a straight face, that there are over 1,000 Israeli casualties from the Hezbollah, rocket attacks. 1,000 casualties. And then later he said, well, some were injured, some were killed, and many of them were in terrible stress. That's a casualty. It's just incredible the way they twist things. And then he admitted near the end of the interview that as a result of this 1,000 casualties, that there were 80 Israelis in hospitals in Israel. 80 Israelis totally. And if you take a look at the count of the individuals who've been hurt in Israel, more military than civilians have been hurt, whereas in Lebanon, 4 to 5 times as many civilians, including women and children, has been hurt as compared to military. The military, I don't think, is even in double figures right now in terms of the Hezbollah forces, but the civilians are 4 to 5 times more. And the truth is that in Israel, you've had military casualties primarily, and in fact the whole war was started by the capture of 2 Israeli soldiers. Well, Israel's been capturing thousands of civilians and soldiers and all the like in the occupied territories and in Lebanon for years and torturing them in their prisons. And that's not supposed to be a big deal, but it's a big deal if a Hezbollah takes 2 Israeli soldiers, which is certainly fair game, against an enemy that still hasn't signed a peace treaty, an enemy that still attacks their sovereign territory occasionally and has done so for many, many years. I mean, the biases is incredible, but literally, in Israel, you've had more soldiers die from Hezbollah than you've had civilians. But in Lebanon, you've had more children. I'm talking about 8, 10, 12-year-old little boys and girls who've been killed than you've had fighters who've been killed. And you've got perhaps many hundreds, thousands, who've faced terrible trauma, destruction of their family, and injury, disfigurement, burns, scarring, many more than the death toll, I can tell you, have been injured. But again, this is not talked about, and there's just no real equity in terms of the media, and that's what we have going on in terms of the media control in the world. Well, let me start my chapter. This is Chapter 5, Jewish Media Supremacy, and this is Part 1 of that. And I'm going to begin with some quotations I have in the book by some major people that you will you'll certainly recognize, who have commented on the Jewish power in the media and what media really means to the world, and how in a democracy it's not really democratic. I'll start off with a quote on the media itself and who it's responsible to by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. "Such as it is, the press has become the greatest power within the Western world, more powerful than the legislature, the executive, and judiciary. One would like to ask, by whom has it been elected, and to whom is it responsible?" Next quote is from a recorded conversation between Richard Nixon and the Reverend Billy Graham at the White House. "This Jewish stranglehold on the media has got to be broken, or this country's going down the drain," Graham said, agreeing with Nixon's comments earlier in the conversation. "You believe that?" Nixon says in response. "Yes, sir," says Graham. "Oh boy, so do I," Nixon agrees, then says, "I can't ever say that, but I believe it." And this from the Los Angeles Jewish Times, October 29th, 1999, and it goes like this. 4 of the largest 5 entertainment giants are now run or owned by Jews. Murdoch's News Corp at number 4 is the only Gentile holdout. However, Rupert is as pro-Israel as any Jew, probably more so. And by the way, other sources claim that Murdoch's mother, Elizabeth J. Green, is Jewish. Now, the verdict's still out on that end of it. In the Oscar-winning 1976 movie Network, Howard Beale, the mad prophet of the airwaves, becomes consumed with the idea of exposing an insidious danger facing America, the takeover of American television by Arabs through their petrodollars. The film was based on an Oscar-winning screenplay by Patty Chayefsky, who depicts a dark plot by Arabs to buy and control the TV networks. Howard Beale, played by Peter Finch, is a deranged news anchorman who speaks his mind about any subject, resulting in skyrocketing ratings. Raving about the inequities and corruption in American life, Beale would cry out, "I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore." Now, imagine if Iraqi American supporters of Saddam Hussein had control of the American media. Suppose they controlled the national television networks and were a majority of the owners, producers, and writers of television entertainment and news. TV is an irresistible power that reaches into every American home, the primary source by which most Americans learn about the world. Consider the danger of that enormous power dominated by a tightly knit Iraqi Muslim minority that supported the Hussein regime. If the non-television media were still free, they undoubtedly would regard Iraqi media domination as a great danger to America. Every non-Iraqi source of media would proclaim that such control threatens our freedoms. Congress would likely draft legislation to break up the Iraqi stranglehold on television. Patriots would remind Americans that if we were not free to obtain unbiased news, documentaries, and programming, democracy could not work. The power of TV controlled by one point of view would erode the foundation of all our freedoms, the freedom of speech. Pundits would be outraged that non-Americans, people with allegiance to a foreign power, had control over the American mind. Taking the analogy further, imagine if the rest of the media were also in Iraqi hands. Suppose that the three major news magazines, Time, Newsweek, and USA's World Report, were run by Iraqis. And that the three most influential American newspapers, the New York Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, as well as a majority of the remaining major newspapers and magazines, were controlled by Iraqis. Imagine that Muslim Iraqis dominated the Hollywood movie industry as well as book publishing and even book distribution in America. Picture the Iraqis as also holding immense wealth in business and banking and as thoroughly entrenched in entertainment and Hollywood, academia, judiciary, and government. On top of all this, suppose that the supporters of Saddam Hussein had the most powerful lobby in Washington and were responsible for the bulk of the fundraising of both the Democratic and Republican parties. Suppose a dedicated Iraqi led the National Security Council and another one ran the CIA, the most sensitive security agencies in the United States. Now, would such a situation be dangerous for America? If Americans awoke one morning and found Arabic names scrawled all over the television and movie credits on their magazine and newspaper mastheads and in the pages of their books, millions would say, "We've been taken over." Viewers would suspect the motives of everything they see on television and read in newspapers, magazines, and books. They would be especially wary of information about issues related to Iraqis, Saddam Hussein, Islam, and the Middle East conflict. In very short order, many Americans would cry out in the fashion of Howard Beale, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." When I came to the realization that the original Russian Revolution was not Russian, that it was financed, organized, and led mostly by Jews who were driven by centuries-old conflict between themselves and the Russian people, I wondered how such an important fact of history had been so effectively covered up. Upon learning fully about the communist murder of millions of Christians in Russia and Eastern Europe, I asked myself why there were so few movies, dramatic television series or documentaries, novels, books, or magazine articles about it, but endless coverage of the Holocaust. Then I read a copy of the Thunderbolt newspaper published by Dr. Edward Fields of Marietta, Georgia. Dr. Fields carefully documented Jewish control of America's three major television networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC. I carefully checked Dr. Fields' sources, which included biographies published by Jews themselves. At the time of my first inquiry, Richard Sarnoff was the head of NBC. William Paley was head of CBS, and Leonard Goldenson ran ABC. I was amazed to learn that all three were Jews. All were active in Zionist organizations, and all had been honored by awards of numerous Jewish, Zionist, and other pro-Israeli groups. Then I discovered that the leading newspaper in America, the New York Times, is Jewish-owned and edited. So is the newspaper that has more influence on the federal government than any other, the Washington Post. Jews also own the largest circulation daily paper in America, the Wall Street Journal. And they even own my hometown newspaper, the New Orleans Times-Picayune. I learned that Jews had dominated Hollywood for years. It was interesting to find out that the Hollywood Ten, who took the Fifth Amendment when asked before Congress whether or not they were communists, 9 were Jews. As I looked into magazine and book publishing again, I discovered a striking preponderance of Jews, most of them dedicated to Jewish interests, much like today's Steven Spielberg, director of Schindler's List, who's an outspoken supporter of Zionist causes. In fact, the most watched movie ever made about the Holocaust, viewed by millions as history, was entirely a Jewish production. Jerry Molin was the producer. Gerald R. Molin, producer, that's another, Jerry Molin. Steven Spielberg, director, producer. Kurt Luedtke, screenwriter. Steve Zillian, screenwriter. Janusz Kaminski, cinematographer. Michael Kahn, editor. Ewa Braun, set decoration design. Production designer, Branko Lustig. Production designer, Alan Starsky. Production designer, Lou Ryan, co-producer. Now, years later, I read Jewish publications that boasted about Jewish domination of American media. I also read An Empire of Their Own, a book by Neil Gabler. It details the Jewish takeover of the film industry. Ben Stein, a Jewish screenwriter and son of Herbert Stein, an economic advisor to President Nixon, wrote the book The View from Sunset Boulevard. Now, in it, he candidly remarks that the great majority of Hollywood's television writers and executives are Jewish, and that they're adamantly opposed to Christian values and the conservatism of traditional small-town America. He wrote an article for E! Online in 1997 entitled, Do Jews Run the Media?, accompanied by a subtitle that read, You Bet They Do, and What of It? In the 1970s, Dr. William Pierce, chairman of the National Alliance and editor of National Vanguard magazine, along with his staff, researched the question and documented the Jewish dominance in his essay, Who Rules America? Now, what I discovered was that the worst nightmare of Paddy Chayefsky and his network character, Howard Beale, has been realized. A small but cohesive minority with a 3,000-year old loyalty to their own people and a fanatical dedication to their newly formed nation dominates America's media. But it is not the Arabs who have this power, nor is it the Irish or the Germans or the French or the English or the Russians or the Swedes or the Danes or the Italians, and it's not Muslims, Christians, Mormons, or Catholics. Ironically, it is the group that made up and makes up the Paddy Chayefskys of the world. Chayefsky, an enthusiastic supporter of Jewish causes in the State of Israel, cleverly attempts to influence viewers against Arabs by fictionally accusing them of attempting the very same thing that Jews have already accomplished. The rest of the network staff included director Sidney Lumet, producer Howard Gottfried, and editor Alan Haim. The same tribe that financed, produced, wrote, and distributed the film Network dominates the American media and truly the media of the entire Western world. Jewish media power is so extensive that one can scarcely exaggerate it. It's not simply a question of their power being disproportionate to their percentage of the population. Their power is breathtaking. If you live in a major city, the daily newspaper you read will more than likely be Jewish-owned or edited. So will the national news magazine you buy at the news counter. More than likely, the national cable or regular TV network you watch will be Jewish-owned, and if not, Jews will be preponderant in the executive and decision-making departments. The movie you see in a theater or watch on television will very likely have been produced, directed, or written by Jews, and often all three. The publishers of the hardbacks or paperbacks you read, even the record companies that produce the music you buy, will probably be Jewish-owned, and if not, they will very likely have Jews in key executive positions. Bookstores and libraries often select their book purchases based on reviews by Jewish critics and publications such as the New York Times Book Review, which is another part of the Jewish-run New York Times. It is certainly true that many people in media are not Jews, Nor do I allege that every Jew in media is part of some fantastic and intricate conspiracy, or that every Jew is ardently Zionist. But the overwhelming domination and thrust of the American media is Jewish, and no group is more ethnocentric and more organized for their perceived interest than are Jews. With these facts in mind, can any reasonable person believe that Jews present news and entertainment without slant for their own purposes through what Gabler calls an empire of their own? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the first part of Chapter 5, Jewish Media Supremacy. And I look forward to being with you again tomorrow with Part 2 of Chapter 5, Jewish Media Supremacy. I hope you're enjoying the chapter, and I hope that you'll take the time and effort to make sure that other members of your family, your friends, your associates, people you know around the world, people you don't know, learn about this project. And remember as well that I need your support to continue this kind of work, and I'm doing everything I can to educate our people about this problem and truly educate all the people of the world, because it's a worldwide problem. And it's going to take a tremendous amount of work and effort and courage and dedication to make the difference that we must make in the world. Again, thanks for all. I look forward to being with you tomorrow for Part 2 of Jewish Media Supremacy, Chapter 5 of Jewish Supremacism. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddude.com.